we explore the intensive English program at UW-Milwaukee, barriers to fluency, and how English proficiency is this gateway to so much more for Afghan refugees. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Join in on English as a Second Language, what you've encountered, 800-642-1234. Two of the students enrolled in the program fled Kabul during the Taliban government takeover last year. They stayed at Fort McCoy, and we are only using their first names to protect family members still in Afghanistan. Farzana, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Good morning. And Maruk, can you hear me? Welcome to you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yes, sure. And Brooke Haley here as well, director of UW-Milwaukee's English Language Academy and its intensive English program. Brooke, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
So you've been helping non-native speakers learn English for more than 20 years now. How have you seen the intensive English instruction change people's lives?
That's a great question. I started teaching ESL in the late 90s, early 2000s. And at that time, a lot of my students were actually refugees from Bosnia, former Yugoslavia. So it's interesting and sad, obviously, at the same time to see how just in 20 years, people keep needing to flee their countries and come to the U.S., and they begin their journey here with English classes. And so it's wonderful to have that opportunity to connect with newly arrived immigrants and refugees and the work that I've done.
I'd imagine your program is like a mini United Nations. You must have students from all over.
We do. The intensive English program and the English for Academic Purposes classes, both parts of our English Language Academy at UWM. We have students, from all over. Last semester, I taught a class, and there were students from 7 different countries. So 7 out of 10 students were from somewhere else. We serve a lot of students from East Asia and South Asia, but we also have students from, for example, this semester, Democratic Republic of Congo, Colombia, Sri Lanka, I mean, really, all over the world. It's fantastic. It's the best part of my job.
I wonder, does the learning curve you see for English fluency depend on what your native language is? Or does that ability to learn English really rest more within the individual learning it themselves?
I think it's a little bit of both. When you're learning a language that's closer to English, or you're learning English, and your native language is closer to English, like German or some of the Romance languages, there are a lot of cognates or words that are, really sound the same. So that helps with vocabulary development, I would say. And oftentimes the grammar structures are similar. But when you're learning, English and your native language is Arabic or Chinese or, Korean, the grammar structures are so different. The alphabet is different. So you have more to tackle, I would say. So that is a big part of it. But I do think that a student's, just natural abilities, right? And time they can commit to learning the language, and oftentimes their own academic experiences in their home countries really contribute a lot to how quickly they'll learn English.
We're talking about UW-Milwaukee's efforts to support Afghan refugees through English language instruction. Brooke Haley there directs the university's English Language Academy. And now we're going to turn to students, Farzana and Maruk, students enrolled in the program. Farzana, I would love to ask you, how does it feel to have this opportunity to learn English at UW-Milwaukee?
First of all, good morning, everyone. It is the best experience that I ever have in my life, because it was my dream to study in a university out of my country, especially in the U.S. And I think I live my dreams now.
Hmm. Farzana, what's been the hardest part about learning English?
Well, for me, the pronunciations. Yeah, it is the most, it is the hardest part.
Maruka, let's hear about your experience so far. How does it feel to be learning English?
Well, I'm enjoying learning the another language, and here I'm enjoying with the teachers and the students from all over the world, from different countries. I'm learning everything new from them, so it's great.
How much time do you spend to studying? How much time do you put to studying English?
Well, we have different classes, and during the day, like we have three or four classes, and so beside that, so I'm just putting my 2 hour or 3 hour learning English.
How is it going? Do you find that you struggle sometimes, or can it be frustrating?
Well, it is good, but sometimes, as Farzana said, some pronunciations are different because back in my country, we studied English, but with different pronunciation. Most of our teachers were studied at like British, but they whenever they came and they taught us, so we have different pronunciation for some words. We learn from them. So in here, the American pronunciation is different. So sometimes I have struggling with pronunciation some words.
Brooke, how is that with pronunciations and your students coming from with different bits and pieces of English with them that has been taught to them in their native countries?
Well, English is really a global language. So, there's no one right way to pronounce words oftentimes because, as the student said, people speak English in, South Asia and all over the world. And so they have their own accents that they bring with them. And that's wonderful. I think it just makes the language more diverse and interesting. I understand that when students are here learning in the United States, they would like to have an American accent. So, we do the best to help them with that, but embrace a variety of accents, right? Because it is truly a world language with lots of accents that come with it. The girls are in a speaking listening class, and the speaking listening teachers work on pronunciation as part of their presentations that they prepare. So they get lots of feedback that way.
Are these like the speaking and listening classes at in person?
Yeah, all of our classes are in person this semester. So the students in our intensive English program, where Mahrukh and Farzana are currently studying, they have a reading class and then a writing class, speaking listening class, and then kind of a all skills integrated skills class that's kind of content based. So they get the full gamut 4 days a week, and then Fridays are reserved for field trips or events or meetings and things like that.
We are talking about UW-Milwaukee's English Intensive Program. Enrolled 9 Afghan refugees this year. Brooke Haley directs the program, talking with students Farzana and Maruk with us, using first names only for helping to protect family in Afghanistan. Join in with your questions about English and university and professional life, how you learn to speak and write it. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation now about UW-Milwaukee's English Language Academy and its intensive English program, where students pay to learn English before embarking on a university education or their professional life. Join in on English language learning, how to support refugees who settle in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. The Academy's director, Brooke Haley, stays with us. We also have students in the intensive English program, Farzana and Maruk, who we are using their first names. They fled Kabul when the Taliban seized control of Afghanistan's government last year. And Farzana, Rosanna, I want to turn to you now. As you traveled from Kabul to Fort McCoy, what challenges did you face in this journey?
First of all, I was feeling very lonely because I was not with my family, and it was the first time that I was separated from them. It was very hard, especially for my mom because she is sick. And the other sides, when we traveled here, we didn't know that we are coming here. Mm-hmm. And all the way that we came till Spain, we went to Saudi Arabia and Spain, and we were 1 week on the way, and we didn't know we are gonna go.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the what's the last location that we are gonna stay there? So it was very hard to not to know where you gonna go. Yeah.
Mm. Are you able to talk with family members still in Afghanistan?
Yes, I'm in touch with them. We are talking virtually, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Through social media.
What do you tell them?
Well, I don't know. We just mm-hmm. talk.
You just talk, yes. Marouk, what happened as you left Afghanistan? What was that like for you?
Well, first, it was not easy to leave my country and especially my family. But I knew that it was a good chance to save myself and my dreams. Whenever we left there, we went to Saudi Arabia, and then after one day we went to Spain, and we spent one day in Spain. So after that, we came to United States, and especially in Fort McCoy. So as a young woman living in an army base without any family member, and also without any belonging, so it is difficult because it is a different country here. So with new culture and new language, I faced like many challenges, including mostly loneliness, but at least I knew that I was safe, and I said, it's fine. It's a new journey, so I will start again and everything will be fine.
Hmm. Do you feel hopeful, Marouk?
Yeah, I'm feeling hopeful always.
Hmm. So, Brooke, I want to bring you back in here. Refugees who enrolled may be undergraduate students. Can you explain a little bit how the students are able to take these classes and be able to pay for them?
Sure. So our intensive English program, as you said in the intro, is designed to help support students who need to improve their English before beginning university level coursework. And when we heard, we got an email from kind of a consortium of intensive English programs, a representative from one of those programs sent an email out to the group explaining that there's a group of students at Fort McCoy from the Asian University for Women, and they're looking for university homes for the students. He saw an article in the Chronicle of Higher Ed. And so our assistant director of the Intensive English Program shared the email with me, and we had just been talking at a meeting about, you know, what could we try to do, if anything, to help support Afghan refugees as they're, you know, coming in. And so I shared the request with the vice provost, and he forwarded on to the provost and then the chancellor. You know, the request was to try and provide a 5-year scholarship for these young women, a year of English if they needed a year, and then 4 years of undergrad study. And it just wasn't possible for UWM at this time. And we're an access university that serves a lot of students with high needs, you know, plus with enrollment decreases, you know, due to COVID and other things. The university wasn't in a position to offer such a complete scholarship. And so I was feeling a little, you know, just obviously disappointed. And I was talking to another colleague about it, and Mary, and she is a member of Eastbrook Church, which is a local church that does a lot of work with immigrants and refugees in Milwaukee and has for, you know, decades. And she said, you know what, our church has been looking for a way to support Afghan refugees. And I think they'd be interested in trying to do something to help this group of girls. And 10 minutes later, we got the okay from the missions pastor at Eastbrook Church. And we started, you know, organizing. The church pledged to pay for their intensive English studies for the spring and summer semesters, and then to fundraise to pay for their undergraduate studies until the girls can qualify to apply for FAFSA and get some, you know, hopefully grants to continue that undergraduate tuition support. But right now, as humanitarian parolees, their temporary status doesn't allow them to do that. So Eastbrook has committed to, and Eastbrook and actually we organized UWM's Intensive English Program or English Language Academy, and Eastbrook created an organization called the Afghan Student Partnership of Milwaukee, ASPOM. And that's kind of our fundraising group to get money to help pay their undergrad tuition. We're committed to paying it as long as we need to, until they can qualify for federal aid.
That's a remarkable story.
So that I just want to also add that that covers kind of the tuition and the fees. But a huge part of that too is the host families that they've been placed with. These are all families from Eastbrook who invited these girls into their homes and into their families really for as long as they need to be there. So that also has made this be able to happen. They're in loving homes with families that, you know, support them and give them advice and, you know, are there for them when they need them. So I think that combination, this partnership between a public university and a local church, I think is a beautiful model for supporting, you know, refugees as they come into Wisconsin.
Talking with Brooke Haley, who leads the UW-Milwaukee's English Language Academy, and hearing from two students enrolled in the program, Farzana and Marouk, you can join in 800-642-1234. Let's take a call now. Mark is joining us from Appleton. Mark, hi. What's on your mind?
Hi, good morning. I'm so enjoying your program, and I wanted to thank Farzana and Marouk for taking the time and effort to learn English so that we can hear them tell us their story and we can listen. My mom was involved in the ESL program. It was one of the best volunteer experience she ever had. So I hear my mom as Brooke talks about the program. My question for you is, and I try to emulate my mom's je ne sais quoi, if you will. My question is, since you have a wonderful classroom full of students learning English, do the students have an opportunity to teach the other members of the class a little bit about their language? And I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Mark, thank you so much. Brooke, what is that sharing like?
Oh, that's an interesting question. In our speaking and listening classes, for example, students often do presentations about various topics. So students will often in those presentations talk about their cultures and their backgrounds. And I have seen students share a little language lesson. It's not, you know, part of our formalized instruction, but it is, you know, there are lots of opportunities as friendships develop and as, you know, parts of those more formalized presentations for students to do that. It's a great idea, but I think that cultural sharing is really just, that happens every day, all day with our students, and that's really a beautiful thing.
Marouk, how does it feel for you to be with your classmates and learning English?
Well, it's great, but sometimes I help. I can understand some of our my classmates because their pronunciation is different. Like most of our Korean classmates, it's sometimes difficult for me to understand them, but I'm learning from them.
Farzana, do you learn from your classmates as well?
Sure, everyone is learning from different cultures. And so, yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us. Brooke Haley, director of UW-Milwaukee's English Language Academy and its intensive English program. Farzana and Maruk, Afghan refugees, fled Kabul during the Taliban takeover last year. Both enrolled in the program, plan to attend as undergrads this fall. We use their first names only as a precaution for their loved ones still in Afghanistan. Find a link to the program, wpr.org/mornings. News update is next on the Ideas Network.